Darius, pulling a favourite trick, accused Nebuchadnezzar of being an impostor, had him arraigned as Nidintu-Bel, and hurriedly and discreetly impaled. 49 of the supposed impostor's lieutenants perished alongside him. Those noblemen who had profited from Bardia's policies could hardly bank on the favour of his assassin. Urgently, they banded together in opposition to the coup. Promoting one of their own, Vyazdata, as king, they took a leaf out of Darius's book and announced that their man was in fact Bardia himself. To add to the superfluity of pretenders, rebels throughout Asia were similarly emerging from the shadows, laying claim to the bloodlines of long-toppled monarchs and to the glories of vanished empires. Ancient ambitions, briefly stifled by Persian rule, began to blaze back into life. Most threateningly of all, a nobleman by the name of Phraortes seized control of Ecbatana. Making common cause with rebels in the eastern half of the empire, many of whom hurried to acknowledge him as their overlord, he proclaimed the golden days of Media reborn. By January, Phraortes' forces were pushing hard. Advancing almost to the Nisaean plain, they threatened to break through into Mesopotamia. Darius, knowing that he could not afford to lose Babylon, yet also frantically orchestrating a war on numerous fronts, dispatched a small army under Hydarnes, one of the 7 original conspirators, to hold the highway at all costs. Finally, by April, with a great victory reported against Vyazdata and the crushing of the rebellion in the north, Darius was ready to commit himself to the Median campaign. Leading his reserves up from Babylon, he joined with Hydarnes and then, in a bloody and decisive battle, routed Phraortes, captured him, and loaded him with chains. His nose, tongue, and ears were cut off. Then, for good measure, he was blinded in one eye. While other prominent rebels were flayed and their skins then stuffed with straw, their master was chained before the gates of the royal palace in Ecbatana, where everyone could see him. Only once his countrymen had been given sufficient opportunity to gawp at his humiliation was Phraortes, the would-be king of Media, impaled. All this was done for the particular edification of the clan chiefs, of course. 2 months later, and the Persian aristocracy were graced with the same lesson. Vyazdata, brought to battle and defeated a second time, was duly impaled. His closest lieutenants, sentenced to the same excruciating fate, writhed upon an immense forest of stakes. Darius, stern-faced and implacable, surveyed the scene. No more pretenders would come forward now claiming to be Bardia. The murdered king at last lay in his grave. Smoothly, Darius moved to annex Bardia's dependents to himself. The various female offshoots of the royal family, the sisters, wives, and daughters of the man he had displaced, were swept into the marital bed. The victory over the liar kings had been a great and terrible one, and because it had proved the truth of what he had always insisted, that he was indeed the champion of Ahura Mazda, the new king had ordered its details to be recorded and proclaimed. For the first time ever, cut like the pages of a book on the blood-coloured rock, the Persian language was to be transcribed into written form. The story of how Darius had rescued the world from evil.